your host, Joe Hills, and today we're featuring a live interview straight from the Esports Bar. Alan has been probably one of the most engaged people on social media for the majority of this entire event and has been leading some really interesting projects with Esports, with our Asia, internally and externally, and we're super happy to have him on the show.
Hi, thanks Joe. Thanks for the invitation.
Awesome. So just to excuse any background noise. So Alan, before we get started on learning a little bit more about what you've been doing with Esports and Air Asia from an employee engagement perspective, what's your story in gaming? Why does this speak to you and how did this actually become part of your remit?
Well, just a quick background. I used to play games from the days of 486, Alley Cats and Dig Dug and Pac-Man, as well as after that progressing to Counter-Strike, a bit of a Red Alert, Command & Conquer, StarCraft 1. Yeah, but after that I stopped. I didn't went to the World of Warcraft or Dota 1 or 2 or League of Legends era. Yeah, but then I realized the potential and I will share more later. And yeah, that's one of the reasons why AirAsia is here today.
Okay, so internally, this has become a massive project for you guys in terms of speaking to an increasingly gaming-friendly audience. Just break it down for how this even came onto your radar for something that you might want to build up, either as an external partnership or actually something for your staff too.
Interestingly enough, I myself don't know anything about esports. So I just found out back in June of 2017, and I realized that even our owner of AirAsia, the airlines, Tony Fernandez, some of you based in the UK might heard of him. He owns Queen's Park Rangers as well, so he knows about esports and even about Twitch. I didn't even know what's Twitch. I know about twitching my eyes and stuff like that. So I did a Google search. You know, how can my boss know, but not we don't know. And after the searching on Google about internet about esports, like, wow, it's a massive global audience. You have millennials, Generation Z, digital natives, and they don't watch television anymore, and they don't read physical newspapers. Even I myself don't read physical newspapers, and realize that the demographics fits with AirAsia's target market. But when I asked around, our colleagues, they don't really know what's esports. So I realized that, you know, AirAsia needs to do something about it, and we need to create internal awareness first, and from then on we can work further with the external market.
It's a very smart way to move about it. Like, a lot of these brands and organizations will kind of have multiple decks from teams, tournament organizers and publishers just being thrown at them as, this is why you should spend money in our space. And there's still a massive part of education on internally with the brands and in their boardrooms or throughout the entire organization about why we should be taking a risk on putting our well-respected brand in a relatively new and uncertain market. So to actually build up a presence and an ecosystem internally for any form of organizational change that builds buy-in straight away to an idea, and then you actually get super passionate people that when these external projects roll through, you actually benefit from these kind of new partnerships that aren't just copy and paste from what everyone has been doing in sport. And
just to share a bit of background, so in AirAsia we have different social gatherings or groups, example like futsal, soccer, badminton, running, mountain climbing, scuba diving, stuff like that. So we when we found out about esports, we realized, why don't we do a esports club for our employees? So we did an online survey to our employees via our internal communications platform called Workplace by Facebook, and we created an esports group. And we asked, hey guys, out of the 22,000 of us, which games do you play, or do you play any games at all? Dota 2 or League of Legends, FIFA 18, mobile games like Arena of Valor, Vainglory, Mobile Legends, etc., right? And we realized there was an engaged group of our employees who does play. So that was striking to us, because we didn't know this beforehand. And we collected the data and realized that, why don't we form an esports club as a pilot project? It doesn't cost virtually zero cost to the company. It's a low risk. And we can track and see how far the employees can progress in terms of engagement. Example, in AirAsia, we have different departments. We have office, based in the office people. We have pilots who we hardly see in the office. We have cabin crew, ground operation staff. And because of esports via these games, and we can connect and meet during weekends, which we I probably never meet some of them in during my 5 years in AirAsia. So it's amazing. So there's a three-pronged approach. First one is employee engagement, which I just shared. Second one is for employer branding. Imagine your company having an esports club for your employees. Others who want to join your company, the workforce out there, the millennials, the Gen Z, who just graduated from college or unis, university, they're like, wow, I want to join AirAsia. They have this esports club. And other companies out there haven't really started on that, but I hope they do. Mm. It's good for them and also good for the esports space. And that is employer branding perspective, because for AirAsia, example, we're moving towards a digital company, so we need to hire more digital talents. And we realize that digital talents, they're into esports as well. They're gamers. And it's a good platform for them, and encouragement to those who want to join AirAsia. And the third one is for potentially entering the space. So once you get internal buy-in from employee engagement and employer branding, and the third one comes in, potentially sponsor a team or events in esports. It makes the buy-in easier because it's an inside-out approach. The senior management will know what is esports. And what we did was we did about printed 100 over jerseys, esports jerseys, with the club logos, AirAsia. We gave it to all the C-level executives. We did in-game names for them, their customized size. The first question they asked was like, wow, we have our own jersey, we'll wear it, you know, to the office. Second question they asked, what is esports? Wow, that was like a bullseye, you know, hit right at the nail on the coffin. It's like, wow, you know that senior management now knows what is esports. Mm. It made the buy-in easier when we had an esports conversation or meetings, you know, how's Azure's direction on it. And I believe other brands, if you're listening out there right now, you should try to adopt this inside-out approach. Number one is low cost, low risk, and it helps get an easier buy-in for your management.
It's super smart, and I hope that through the next 12, maybe 24 months of how you guys expand into esports as a potential sponsor and partner or owner of teams, that other brands see this as a very safe way to actually experiment with the industry. I mean, if you don't get the uptake from your staff, then if the internal buy-in isn't right, or they are getting the results, then it's just a club that you close down. It's not a PR disaster for putting, you know, a potential household name in a game that involves police shooting counter-terrorists or something like that. It's a lot safer. And with regards to the hiring side, it's one thing that I completely understand is a unique culture that is forward-thinking and welcomes young people who have completely different priorities and completely different ways that they actually engage with all entertainment, from how they're actually working on their phone or binging all of their content on their phone or not watching TV. And esports speaks to them with, well, it doesn't speak to everyone, but it speaks to most of the age group with a massive amount of passion. So it makes a lot of sense. And I'm honestly, when we first started speaking about it, I was very impressed that an organization has already stepped up and actually worked out that this can work. And for almost every non-endemic brand out there, an organization, there is someone within BD, marketing or HR that has to or is already the sports champion for what this industry can actually bring and where they can expand their message to the future homeowners for the next 20, 30 years. So it's really, really exciting, and I hope that people use this as a case study. From the team side, you guys have just signed with the Dota 2 team, right?
Yeah, it's actually a whole journey. It wasn't an overnight decision.
Yeah, sure.
Just sharing, when we first found out about it in June, so after doing our research online, but our data that we collected was on a global scale. We wanted to drill it down and deep dive what's the market like in the Southeast Asia countries. So we actually went on ground. around during the weekends to visit the event, the local sports, esports local tournaments, you know. We engage the fans, community, we had coffee chats with them, you know, how's it like. I mean, we went up to the top, even talking to the people from the publishers with Riot Games, Garena, even with the Vainglory, Super Evil Mega Corp, and even with ESL guys. But we wanted to also connect with the community, you know. Is there a gap anywhere, you know? Is there anywhere Asia should come in slowly, you know, not just coming in and sponsoring a big event or tournament or do our own tournaments, which is a fallacy, right?
Yeah,
a
lot of yeah. That is the main mistake. Like, everyone sees esports and thinks immediately I should just be a logo somewhere or I should start my own event. And if the community don't care about your brand already, then you need to integrate it into something that they already believe in.
Right, and so for us, we actually spend a lot of weekends and after 6 p.m. after work hours, you know, to engage with the fans and a lot of con calls. And it really helped because we realized where's the gap and how Asia can support the community. It's not just about putting a logo on an event or a team, you know. It's about engaging the fans, the audience. And after doing a lot of market research since June 2017, we accelerated and even went to big events like Worlds, League of Legends in Beijing at a stadium, Bird Nest. We even took photos there. It was a full house, 40 or 50,000 humans in the stadium. It was crazy. And when I shared the photos with our owners, the bosses, they're like, is this a superimposed photos or is it a fake news? I'm like, no, it's the real deal. So it takes a lot of going down on ground, doing market research, and that really helped a lot. And from then on, that's when we decided to sponsor Team Mineski Dota 2. Because after doing market research, we found out that Dota 2 is the predominant game genre in the region for Southeast Asia. And that's what we did. And who knows, for those of you who are listening in from the States or even the Europe, you have to go and check out the scene in your local countries.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the big things that's actually sprung out of this event is I've been very impressed with the representation from non-core esports markets. We've had some really interesting conversations with tournament organisers in India, esports teams in Australia and New Zealand, Eastern European markets, in South America as well, and just the Latin area. It's been really exciting, and actually for the show moving forward, we want to maybe stop with the European and North American focus and actually start speaking to the entire esports community. So it makes a lot of sense to have you guys reach out in your own local markets. I had an amazing conversation with Montreal Esports earlier this morning. They're backed by Georges St-Pierre. You guys were doing some sponsorships in the UFC Perth event, so I'm sure that you're well familiar with him. But just seeing all of these big stars actually step in and go grassroots and go small first rather than looking to compete with an already pretty busy industry and work out where their unique area of value is by far the most prudent approach. I think esports can do a much better job of actually understanding what the brand's perspectives are, what your mission is. Is it speaking to youth? Is it influencing their culture? Is it repositioning your brand? You know, esports needs to stop trying to just sell your social numbers and actually listen first. I don't know if you've had experience on that from this event.
Yeah, I totally agree. Talking to a lot of the people on ground here, there's over 100 over esports industry leaders from 40 over countries, and they were surprised at the way how we did things through the internal clubs. And I just want to share that Asia is not just about us, you know, in the Southeast Asia region. It's also about being responsible to build up the esports scene. And even for this event, we have someone from Domino's Pizza, the president and CEO is here from Malaysia, Singapore, and even someone from Petronas, the oil and gas company, who are already in F1, but they're also exploring esports. So I shared with them, hey, you should come to this esports bar, a B2B event, and meet up with the rest of the world to level up our knowledge on esports. It's been really helpful.
Yeah, it's been a quality event. We're going to be putting out some written content with a digital sport group, but we've been really excited with this event so far. Just a few more points before I let you know, because I know that we've all got to get back. But I introduced you as probably one of the most active people on social media that I've met. Every single aspect of this conference has been live streamed, multiple selfies with people that you've had super interesting conversations with. You're trying to educate your network as much as possible about this event. Just break that down for me. Is this something that you've always done, or is this just because esports is new and you need to be making the noise about it that it makes sense?
It did help that before joining AirAsia, I was involved in the paintball industry. It's extreme sport for a good 10 years. Okay. And we went through a lot of hard times and pain points about educating the market, what is paintball back then. And bringing that kind of experience, it helped a lot. Because I realized that when we talk to the local people, the brands in Southeast Asia, they don't know what's esports. So we need to like explain to them in a way that they will understand.
Yeah.
And that's why the reason I'm trying to be active on social media for Esports Bar. So when my contacts on LinkedIn, for example, see it and they realize that, wow, what's AirAsia doing in such a B2B event? You know, are we missing out on something? And I'm bringing the news to them. And even some of the higher management in other companies, they send their staff to explore more about esports, to do market research. And when they go online on LinkedIn, for example, they saw my name popping up about esports, and they approached me. And I'm doing my best, not only just for AirAsia, but to be like an esports evangelist, if I may say, to help out the market understand what's esports.
Yeah, and I think you're doing a fantastic job with that. Whenever I'll be speaking to brands, I'll be using this example as a safer way to get involved. That doesn't actually risk putting your brand in anyone else's hands that you're not 100% sure on. I mean, that's the main reason why organizations are reluctant to partner with many entities, is because their brand is strong enough already. What can you really add in value? And there is more risk than reward for this. And I think that esports as a whole, you know, we're actually at a point where we think that brands need us, and that what we have is actually worth a lot of money. But until you really understand the mindset of these organizations that want to step in, and they truly do want to add value, they want to instigate true social change, not just to buy your Twitter followers and actually get a few logos on your shirt. That doesn't really do anything for anyone anymore. That's just a bit of a waste of time from either side when no one's benefiting from that value.
Yeah. Just to share that, I believe that even in your own brand or organization, if you have any colleagues who are into esports or certain game genres, go to speak to them. In esports, you need to be a fan first, if I may say, like a recent VentureBeat article. You can't just go in and, you know, become an esports expert overnight. So it's good to talk to actual gamers who are part of the space and the scene, and to get the feedback and get a rough idea what they are thinking from their end. And when they see a brand coming to the space, and that was way much more helpful than just going in blindly.
Yeah, and for global multinationals, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, gaming is a level playing field. You know, regardless of where you come from, what you do, where your area of responsibility in the company is, if you like playing games, then there's a massive amount of common ground. That's why networking in this space, if you are already a gamer, is so easy, because you know that you've explored new worlds in exactly the same way as someone else has in amazing single player games. You've tried to hone your skills and rage and almost broken your controller whilst playing some console games. So there's always going to be that shared common ground, regardless of whether you've just stepped into the industry or if you've been in a brand for ages but you've been playing games for a super long time. The last question I'll ask you before I let you go is, it's more of a high level question about the airline's interest in esports as an industry, and how travel, auto, and hospitality can benefit from esports, because so many of these brands are pretty established already. Like a lot of airlines, I assume maybe young people would be more aligned to just getting the cheapest flight anywhere. So how can travel organizations actually, how can they have a unique selling point to this audience aside from actually building up this internal structure?
Right, because the target audience of millennials and Generation Z digital natives, they use a lot of pop-up blockers, for example.
Yeah.
So if you try to target them with pop-up ads, that it wouldn't be effective, and they hardly read the local physical daily newspapers or even the television. So your ads go to those spaces, but it reaches a certain demographic. But this is a hard to reach demographic, and they actually are live streaming and watching esports and streamers. And this is one of the ways to reach out to them, but it has to be authentic.
Yeah.
It cannot be, because they have a high level of a lie detection meter, if I may say. Yeah. So you need to be totally sincere and authentic with them. And in this space, for airlines or travel related industry, esports is not just about the fallacy about some young kid hiding in the basement, having pizza and coke, or having some drinks and playing video games. It's really a global audience whereby people are going out, filling up stadiums, traveling around the world. So using a benchmark of having airlines or travel space to come into esports is totally, it makes sense. It's going to be a sports tourism to another level. People travel around the world just to follow their fans, even in Formula One, for example. Esports is really getting there because these are the next generation of young adults who will have spending power. And I've seen it personally attending, and they are not someone on the street, you know, who is not able to afford these kind of trips, and they actually pay for it. The amount of tickets, amount of the sales, ticket sales they spend on tickets and even on merchandise is phenomenal.
Yeah, I am super keen to see how this partnership rolls out. I think the audience is ready. We've seen very, very positive reception from all of the new Overwatch League partners and other non-endemics that have activated over the course of the last 12 months, be the Mercedes partnership with ESL, the sports game shake, although one of the Game Shaker awards at this event was the BMW partnership with Riot Games, which I hear will be rolling forward in a new format. So this is the time, you know. Esports, since I would say that esports up until 2016, 2017 has been the warm up, and with the amount of interest that we're seeing now, this is when we can really start to pour the fuel on the fire and actually get this industry to start being able to really, one, monetize properly, but two, hit its ceiling of potential. So Alan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people reach out to you if they want to get in touch or to be bombarded with your social posts?
They can go online to LinkedIn. I'm active there, Alan Pang, A-L-L-A-N-P-H-A-N-G, Alan Pang, and also on Twitter or Instagram or even Facebook. Yep.
What are the handles for those?
Same name, A-L-L-A-N-P-H-A-N-G. Okay. Yeah, just to share a last one as well, you know that Asian Games, esports is going to Asian Games in 2022 in Hangzhou in China. It's an official medal event over there, and you get points, ranking points for your country, right? And even this year in Jakarta, Palembang, Asian Games 2018 in Indonesia, it's a demonstration spot. They get a medal, but a stepping stone. And it's going to go really global, and people are already talking about potentially being in the Olympics, so we never know.
I am super keen to see how the Olympic side rolls out as well. Guys, thank you very much for your time. This is probably going to be the first of many shows from the event, so we're trying to make sure that the production quality stays as high as possible. But we just think that these kind of conversations have an insane amount of value for educating us and actually educating brands as well. So, dude, thank you very much for your time. If you guys want to reach out to us on Facebook, we are at LFG Esports HR. So thank you very much for your time, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Joe Hills and LFG.
Thank you very much, man.